Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July 26, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on the chapter Into Action, reading from page 87, starting with the first paragraph. We usually conclude the period of meditation. I'm going to read through and focus our comments today on two paragraphs, and that second paragraph ends with make use of what they offer. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Stephanie F., the 12 traditions, Stephanie L., reading the text and support today, Marilyn T., Liz T., and Marie J. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting is 11701, 11,701. That would be for Wednesday, July 25th, 2018. And then for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, the share ID number for that meeting is 11704, 11,704. That will be for July 26th, Thursday. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose. To carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie F. to read the 12 steps. Star one, please. Stephanie F., we can't hear you. Star one, please.
Sorry about that. I think I had a double mute going. My name is Stephanie F., and I am a compulsive overeater from Westminster. And I am going to read the 12 steps of OA. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie F. I will now ask Stephanie L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're in the chapter Into Action, page 87, paragraph 1. We usually conclude the period of meditation reading through two paragraphs today, which ends with make use of what they offer. And we're going to focus our comments and experience on those two paragraphs. And I will ask Marilyn T. to open up this study today by reading and sharing on those. Good morning, Marilyn.
Thank you, Melanie C. This is Marilyn T. from Northern California, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And Into Action chapter, page 87, first paragraph starting. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will, and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. So the first thing I did in reading about this when I'm looking at it was, and then knew I was going to be reading about it. Again, this is Marilyn T. from Northern California, grateful for recovering compulsive overeater, was just to write a real quick prayer, because sometimes I get my words mixed up. So the prayer I wrote while I was waiting was, God, direct my reading to read your words and to think your thoughts. Guide me, God, to do your will always. And I kind of make my prayers up as I go. I also select prayers, and I'm very mindful to say my prayers all through the day. That is a big change for me. I was always, what could I get out of it? What was I going to get out of this day? What was it going to give me? And now it is pretty much just following the program and the 12 steps and what can I do for others. It's come gradually and naturally, and I'm very thankful for that. You know, and that's what I have to say about that, truthfully, is all through the day, God's will be done, not mine. And what can I do for someone else? And it just comes as it comes. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Now the lines are open to comment on those two paragraphs, page 87, paragraph 1 and paragraph 2. I'm ready to take some names.
Nancy
Judy.
T.
Nancy.
Jen A.
I heard somebody
Wendy
write up M. Nancy before Jen A. Hang on, Wendy.
Judith R.
Catch the fellow. Hang on just a second. Please, I'm trying to find out the person just right after Nancy T. Maybe I've lost my way.
Judith R.
Hi, Judith. Was it you? Okay.
Yes. Aviva.
Thank you. Aviva. Okay. Okay, that's it. That's all I'm going to take for right
Wendy
now.
N.
Then we'll get another mix up the next round. I got you, Wendy, too. Thank you.
Okay,
I have Nancy T., Judith R., Jen A., Wendy M., Aviva, and Julie E.B. Thanks so much for hanging in there with me. Hi, Nancy. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, Visionary. So grateful to be on this meeting this morning. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. I love this paragraph because it tells me, it's giving me directions again that I conclude my period of prayer and meditation with a prayer that I be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. And that's good for me. So here's my history. I get up in the morning. In the past, when I've done the steps, I'll say, you know, do my morning prayer time and stuff. And then I'm off like the Energizer Bunny into my day. I've got 150 things to do and I need to do this and this and this and this and this. And I get this tunnel vision and I just go and I do. But I don't ever, you know, stop and think about what's the next right thing to do. I wasn't wired that way. It was about me being in control and that included my day and what I was going to get done in. But what I've learned this time is that that is not what we're instructed. We're instructed, remember what it says, what do we have to change? We have to change everything. We're going to have a complete psychic change as a result of these steps. So now instead of being Nancy-centered, I'm God and others-centered. So I need to ask that critical question, please show me what is the next right thing to do. And I need to do that throughout the day. I can't only do it at the beginning of the day and then review at the end of the day. Otherwise, my review at the end of the day is going to be, uh-oh, look at all these places where selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, and fear came in because I got off track and I started doing it my way again without pausing. You know, that critical pause in the middle of our day when things seem to be going haywire. And it's, you know, I find sometimes now that I almost pause automatically, and not always. I'm still fairly new at this. But I do have that pause in my day, and I do start asking God and believing He will to show me what the next right thing is to do. And if I have doubt, all I have to do is pause. And I've heard lovely tools that people use to remember that, because they're like me. They get going, and they're this little Energizer Bunny. Some set a little timer on their phone to go off. Others, a lot of different things. But I am just so grateful for the clear-cut instructions and suggestions in this book because they work. I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I'm so grateful, so ever grateful today. And I can trust that my higher power guides me each step of the way throughout my day. So thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy T. Judith R., you're next, then Jen A. Hi, Judith.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Judith R., gracefully recovered in Vermont. I used to think I didn't know how to meditate, and I have a very busy mind, and one day I was sitting in church and I realized that for the last 10 minutes I'd been meditating on the haircut of the woman kneeling in front of me. And I was like, that is meditation. I just kept thinking, she should do this and what if, what? I was like, oh, I was meditating on something very specific. And lately I've been understanding more and more that that I can meditate on God's love, or I can meditate on something that God gives me the idea to meditate on. Because of my extra busy mind, I have a hard time doing the just breathing kind, which Herb Kay and a lot of people call contemplation. So some people make a distinction between meditation when you're actually thinking about something and contemplation when you're trying to let everything go. So when I heard that distinction, I realized that I'm more of a meditator than a contemplator, although I aspire to do both. And these days, I spend more time thinking about what something wonderful about me and God or God in the universe, and that goes better for me. And when sponsees and friends say they can't meditate or contemplate, I remind us that all day long we are thinking. We're thinking and thinking and thinking constantly, so it shouldn't be too much of a shock to us when we stop and try to stop thinking, and we really can't. We don't know how to stop thinking. And so it's not too shocking that that while we're trying to meditate or contemplate, we have thoughts and thoughts and thoughts. And so most of the people I talk to say, well, I can't do that because I have too many thoughts. And I just say, look, everybody does. There's no such thing as a guru who has no thoughts. Everybody has lots and lots and lots of thoughts. And they can just go down the stream is one of the ways people do it. Just let it go. And I am so grateful that because of these 12 steps, I now have a much richer life of meditation. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith R. Jen A., you're up next, and then Wendy.
Good morning. Thanks, Melanie. Thanks for your service. This is Jen A., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic from Littleton, Colorado. Prayer and meditation. So when I first, before I came into program, prayer looked for me like foxhole prayers, right? Like, oh crap, I'm in a load of trouble. Like, help me out of this, right? Help me God, help me God, help me God, a foxhole prayer. And then I came to this program and I was introduced to the serenity prayer. And that prayer evolved over time, and I got the courage, and things just kind of started popping up through the serenity prayer, right? And then after I learned that serenity prayer, here came in my program the third step prayer, and then the seventh step prayer. And now here we're at the 11th step prayer, right? The divorce prayer. And I'll never forget, somebody said, did you say the divorce prayer this morning? And I go, the divorce prayer, not sure what that means. Divorce myself from yada, 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 right? So, you know, we're given prayers all along the way in this program, and that's the beautiful part. If I don't know how or what to say, and I just want to try and contact and access power, then I have a way to do it easily. But as I continue to seek out my higher power and God's will for my life, my prayer life and my meditation life changes, right? I remember when I used to get up in the morning and I would be like, okay, I'm going to pray and meditate. So I'd set my alarm and I'd do this prayer and meditation. I would fall back asleep in bed. And I would like just keep doing that for a week. I'm like, okay, this is not working. So then I was like, guided meditation. And then someone was talking. And I'm like, that's too much chatter in my brain. Like, it's too early for this. And so then I came to like a quiet, watery stream. And then water and, you know, birds chirping and things like that. Okay, maybe that's a little better. And it's a process, right? This whole program is a process. But as I continue to grow, this prayer and meditation continues to permeate my entire being. And that's what's so absolutely beautiful, is that there's no right way to do this. That's the beautiful thing. I do the step work. I have the spiritual awakening. And then this is the personal part between me and my higher power, between me and the person that I call God, that's going to give me access and it's going to help me throughout my day. And I love how it says in there, you know, like, what is my direction supposed to be for the day? I got two directions. I'm supposed to be to service to God and God's kids. And I know that when I go out and do that every single day, it's absolutely beautiful. And that way, if things pop up during the day and I can just check in with myself and say, am I doing what I said I was going to start off the day with? Nope. And I got to regroup and get back into the, you know, the stream of life. And that's what it says. So I'm just so thankful for the directions, and the prayer and meditation is always going to be constantly changing in my life. And I'm good with that. And I love that. And that's what makes this program so real, is there's not one right way to do it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen A. Wendy M., and then Aviva M. Good morning, Wendy.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Mel, for your service and everybody on the line. And I'm just happy to be here, right, and happy with my entire abstinence and neutrality with food and beginning to get neutral with some defects of character. So anyways, it says here, freedom from self-will and then we don't never pray for our own selfish ends. So for me, what that looks like is this. It's my go-to when I don't know about it, like when I'm asleep emotionally, psychically, whatever, is what can I get? How can I use you, right? So I go throughout my day with that. And I don't even know that I'm in it, right? So what I do in the morning is I wake up and I'm scared. And the first thing I do is I do writing. And I get all of it out on paper. And that's a big part of my meditation. Because I don't even know what I'm swimming in, right? So I get it on paper, black and white, and I can see, right? I can see, oh my God, that's going on. That's really, really helpful, right? And then after I do that, I do meditation for quite a while. And I, you know, the more I do this, the more I'm going to do it. And the more I need meditation, the more I need it. The more writing I do, the better. And when I write, I get to God. That's the goal. And God says, be more honest, be even more honest. So I can get that clarity. And I just want to say it is gas in the car. Like there's no way I can go through my day if I don't do my morning practice. And what I get when I do that is I get away from what do I need? How can I use people today to a point of what is it that I can give? Right? How can I be useful? Because when I'm useful, I'm free from the bondage of self. And when all I'm thinking about is what can I get from you and how can I manipulate the situation, my life gets very small and it gets very fear-based because I need to control you to get my needs met. So it keeps saying here, freedom from self-will, what can I do for others? How can I be useful? And when I'm in that place, I'm good to go. And when I'm thinking about what can I get, I'm not so good. So I do this practice every day so that I can get that clarity, so that I can go to God, so that I can get super honest with God. You know, it's not, I don't write, you know, things that aren't true, right? God's like, be even more honest, tell me more. And as I do that, I get closer to God, I get closer to myself, and I can see like the disease on paper, and then I can see the recovery. And doing this obviously gets me that freedom that we're looking for, getting unblocked. So that's what I know. I know that doing this practice and writing a lot in the morning gets me unblocked. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Aviva M., welcome. You're next, and then Julie will follow you.
Hi, I'm Aviva, compulsive overeater, California. How are you guys? Thank you, Wendy. That was amazing what you just said. I just wanted to share that I just started working. I'm in the middle of my fourth step, and it's taking forever because I like have 1,000 resentments, and I'm finding that when I ask God to guide my day, it's hard because I still want those, they're called moral results, like I want to see tangible results in front of me, and I take advantage of having serenity or not eating, and it's that doesn't make sense to me. Like my friend, very religious, said that it's illogical to trust God in our day and to have faith. But it's amazing how I was sitting with someone yesterday and they were eating a lot of junk food and I wasn't tempted and I was hungry and it was late and I had worked like 18 hours and it was okay to go home and eat an abstinent meal. And those are the kind of gifts that I'm grateful for. But I just started like really turning my day over to God, and the first day I did it, I was all disappointed that there wasn't any bells and whistles. Like, where's the miracle? Where's this? But it's like some days I think it's bells and whistles, and some days you're just grateful that you showed up. So I'm grateful to this meeting, and I'm grateful for my abstinence today. And I just wanted to share that taking the next indicated step sometimes is really like the only way I can stop being in resentment, the only way I can stop being sorry for myself, and it gets me focused and gives me clarity. And without a way, I wouldn't even have the notion to do this. When I was eating, all my prayers were, why can't you give this to me? Why can't you give this to me? That was it. And I love the fact that people are talking about self-seeking motives. because it does totally limit my life. So thanks for the meeting, and I just wanted to share taking the next indicated step 1 minute at a time is like saving me some time. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Aviva M. And just right after Julie shares, I'm going to open up the lines for additional folks to share. We are on page 87 of the Big Book Into Action, starting with paragraph 1. We usually concluded the period, and then we're going to read through 2 paragraphs ending with make use of what they offer, and that will be our study today. Julie E.B., would you take that for us, and then I'll move on for others to share. Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, one next step at a time in Colorado Springs, Colorado. So one day I'm reading this prayer, and I start thinking about what the person's thinking that's still suffering in the food, our primary purpose, you know, really to serve those that are still suffering in and out of the rooms, on and off the phone. And this is a section that really opened things up for me. Shown throughout the day, what our next step to be is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. What? So I don't even have whatever I need to take care of my own problems. If I have food, it feels like a food problem. It may be my solution, but it feels like a food problem. I'm only asking for the next step and somehow that I could get whatever I need to take care of such problems. And that might be a sponsor. That might be an outreach call. That might be some time in the book. That might be a face-to-face meeting. That might be listening to special editions and meetings until I reprogram my brain to understand this is not a self-will, self-improvement, diet, self-help program. We ask especially for freedom from self-will. I have a great source I go to look up words. It's called the internet. And listen to freedom. The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. So when I'm in self-will, I do not have the power to write, act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. I am my own worst enemy. I have all these rules about food. I have all these rules about my defects, about how life should be, about other people where I stay sore and resentful, about the future and how I need to be afraid of it without spiritual help, and about the harm I've done and that I'm scared to look at that and to face it square in the face. So this is a program of freedom. I like to say there's nothing harder than slipping in and out of the food. There's nothing like the freedom of being safe and protected, neutral with the food and with my defects. I'm just a growing, unfolding child of the universe, asking that God would continue to show me the way and increase my awakeness to God's presence as I serve others. So I wish for everyone today that's still suffering freedom, the power or right to act, speak, or think without hindrance or restraint that comes from self-will. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Julie E.B. The lines are open for additional folks to comment.
Hi, Marie J. Massachusetts.
Marie J. and somebody from Massachusetts.
Melissa, Tennessee. Melissa A.
Who's from Massachusetts?
Linda G.
Yes. Linda G. from Massachusetts. And I have Melissa. Another one?
Kelly T.
Kelly T. And I heard another one.
Liz T.
Greg B.
Stephanie F.
Greg and Stephanie F. That'll take us, I think, to the end. Okay, so this is what I have. I have Marie J., Linda G., I have Melissa, but I didn't get your initial, Kelly T., Liz T., is it Greg B., and then Stephanie F. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning, Mel. Thanks. This is Marie J., recovered and currently in Boston. And I just wanted to say that this paragraph tells me that I just have to keep working it with my hair on fire. I got to stay connected, stay connected, stay connected. And I flew into Boston last night, so everything could be an upset this morning. I am in a different time zone. The phone call's at a different time. I'm in a place that's that nothing is as I've planned. And we had to go to the grocery store and get the right foods. And, you know, I had to prepare. I had to be prepared to be on vacation, even though this is a wonderful, happy time. And I'm here with my best friend and my family. I have to stay connected, stay in my prayer and meditation. I have to plan. I have to prepare. I have to keep my hair on fire no matter what. And so something like this could be an upset for me because nothing is as it is at home where it's so safe and it's so controlled and the environment is so put together. So the prayer and meditation keeps me, so when I come into an environment like this where nothing is as planned, I have this foundation and I have this solid God rising up in me so that nothing can get disturbed. I'm still on the call. It's a different time. It's a little off kilter. Everything's a little off kilter, but because I have that foundation with higher power and I have that prayer and meditation in my life, everything is easy. Everything is just, okay, adjust here. God's in charge. Just be guided, stay in the flow, keep your hair on fire and do the work because recovery can't take a vacation because my disease doesn't take a vacation. So the whole point of this prayer and meditation and staying connected is so that when things get a little off kilter, I have all the foundation to let God rise up in me and let me just go as normal and everything goes beautifully and I can adjust because I'm not in charge. Okay, thanks. I pass.
Okay, great. Thanks, Marie J. Linda G., you'll be next, and then Melissa H. Star one, Melinda G., so we can hear you. We'll skip.
Hey, Linda G. from Massachusetts. Oh, I'm sorry.
There you are. There you are. It's a little tricky sometimes. Good morning.
Yeah, this is my first time sharing on a vision for you, so I'm a little nervous. So I'm Linda G., a recovering compulsive eater from Massachusetts, and I just wanted to share an experience I had with Step 11. I don't know, it was about 5 or 6 years ago. I was doing work on Step 11 with my compulsive overeating, and I had to get double knee replacement as a result of being 304 pounds, and I had lost enough weight that they could operate on me. And I did ask a lot of people to pray. And the operation took 6 hours, and I came to in the operating room because there had been some kind of an issue. They wanted me to, anyway. So when I was being wheeled out to go to the recovery room, one of the people on the surgical team, he bent down and he looked at me. And I remember distinctly his blue eyes, his surgical cap, his red hair coming through, a little bit of, looking at me, and he whispered in my ear, "Soon you'll be saying those prayers on brand new bended knees." And it just floored me because I realized, oh, by the grace of God, the steps, the prayer and meditation are getting into every fiber of my body. Then of course I was wondering what the heck I was praying and saying in there, but it was really amazing to me. And a lot of times I do have to work that part where my life is so unmanageable and insane. I'm on day four of my abstinence, and I am now doing all my work through A Vision for You. I've switched from another program, and but I know. I'm on step two, and I'm looking at the insanity. So there's so much, like, my finances need to be restored to sanity, da-da-da-da. But I do know from the head knowledge that I have to get into working knowledge, so I stay abstinent. There has been times where I'm just so overwhelmed with what I need to do to get my life manageable. I mean, to get my health insurance back, because I haven't done my tax returns, that kind of stuff, that I do have to do one thing and then ask what is the next right thing I should do. And it's, and I, like somebody said, sometimes it's make a phone call. Sometimes, you know, then I know what I'm, I know what the next right thing is to do, and I have to ask the God of my understanding to do it for me, so I'm not overwhelmed. Thank you, Linda G. from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Linda G. Melissa H., you're up next, then Kelly T.
Thank you for calling on me to share. Grateful. Recovering compulsive overeater, Tennessee. I really... There was a line in this section that changed my whole outlook many years ago, and that is, you know, be open to what religious people have to offer, and, you know, they have a lot of good info. Because I went through a place during my early recovery where I just really rejected organized, you know, worship. And today, because of what this big book says, I can do just what the big book says in most all areas. Take what I like and leave the rest. They're suggestions only. Sometimes they apply, sometimes they don't. And the other thing I wanted to share is I remember when I first made adjustments with the help of an outside person, because I was having some health issues, to the food that I ate. Mm-hmm. Extremely resentful, frustrated, felt trapped. And today, I realized that my self-will is what keeps me in bondage. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give me freedom. And I'm very, very grateful for this program and what the big book teaches, and for the wise people that are part of this meeting ongoing, the conference that I went to first off. It was, there's just beautiful recovery, and I'm very grateful for that. So I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Melissa H. Kelly T., you're up next, then Liz T.
Good morning. This is Kelly T. in New York City. Can you hear me?
I can. Good morning.
Awesome. So I'm Kelly T. from New York City. Oh, prayer and meditation. It's amazing when I have this ritual that every morning I get up, the first thing I do is I meditate for 10 minutes, and then I pray. And I'm realizing that lately, I'm becoming more aware that I just say the third step prayer, the serenity prayer, and the seventh step prayer, and I'm realizing I need to speak from my heart. And for some reason, I always have a hard time doing so, to sit there and just speak to my higher power. And so I decided to create like a morning ritual. So it's basically doing the prayer meditation, read the for today, and it feels rushed. It's like I need to do more of it. And just today, listening, the importance of spending more time with a higher power, And I do it every day, but it's like I need more. I crave more. I should say I crave more because every day I pray and meditate. But it is craving that I just need my higher power more, and I need to reach out throughout the day. Yes, I do it in the morning, but what about the next 24 hours, the next, 20 hours? Like, I need to bring that every hour, every minute of my day. Sometimes I do, sometimes I forget to do that. And instead of beating myself up, I'm becoming more aware of it and realizing that I need to pause more and I need to pray into my higher power instead of freaking out. And I'm just grateful that I'm aware of this and I'm open to, like, improving my connection with my higher power because I don't want to go back to the food. It's hell. I don't want to live that life. So I'm always willing to be open because without being rigorous, honest, and openness, I'm not going to be free. And that's what I want today, and that's what I have. And I don't want to give that up ever. So I do whatever it takes. I set that timer. Even throughout the day, lately I've been playing Christian music because I'm not religious, but those music, Spanish music, calms me down. So it's my way of meditating. Sometimes I have to play music to meditate. And I heard a fellow share about writing in the morning. I think I'm going to include that. Maybe that will help me as well. And I'm grateful that I'm able to get on the line. And thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Kelly T. Liz T., you're next. And Greg B.
Hi, my name is Liz T., recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
All right, great. Thanks, Melanie, for your service. Just reading through this paragraph this morning, I have adopted in the morning when I wake up to read the On Awakening part of this book, so 86 through 88, and that's been helpful for me to just get used to a routine. I think one of my sponsors had suggested that at one point, and it helped me just kind of get centered for the day and then have some quiet time to listen as well. I was kind of reflecting on this too, and I remember when I was really struggling with anxiety and depression maybe 10 years ago or something, and my therapist suggested, morning prayer and meditation. And so it just when you hear repeated messages, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe it does work from different people, different areas, different specialties, that it works. So I also love this paragraph where it's all-encompassing, it's the broad highway, it's open to a lot of different religions, and I can really have some creativity here. I can try other different types of meditations. I get some comfort in doing yoga. I mean, it's just the sky's the limit. When I'm not in the food and using all that time and mental space and when the next meal is and when can I get more, and it really does free up a lot of time that I can do more healthy activities for myself mentally and spiritually and physically. And I didn't realize that when I was in the food and in a food fog, that what I can accomplish now in 24 hours might have taken me an entire week back in the food, and I probably wouldn't have been very consistent. I probably wouldn't have been very reliable to my friends and family like I can today after going through the steps process. So that's a beautiful gift too, and to be of service to my higher power and available, to get up on these calls. I mean, that in the beginning, that was a spiritual experience in itself to be willing to do that. So I'm grateful for everybody, and I'm grateful for all the resources out there. But it always comes back to this book. What does the big book say? What do I need to do today? What's the next right thought or action? I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz T. Greg B., you're up next, then Stephanie.
Hi, good morning. This is Greg B. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, I'm in a vehicle here. Well, I heard this a long time ago in programs. You know, prayer is asking and meditation is listening. And the spiritual practice that I, group that I belong to outside of program, my particular group, which is not about a god or a he or she or a thing, but a spirit, it's about, you can be, and I guess the Dalai Lama said this too, you know, you can meditate anywhere. You can be doing laundry, you can be folding laundry, you can be relaxing, but it's important to practice it, especially in times of stress and trouble. So, you know, really good stuff today. And the thing is, what I was thinking about also, just wanted to throw in, is, you know, what is the proper will? It's a question I have to ask. What is the proper power? You know, and it's, you know, it's a job. So it says that in the big book somewhere. I'm not going to look it up and cause a car accident. It says in the big book somewhere, this is the proper use of will. Yeah, God's will. So I've had to be trained in many, many years of program. It's just, okay, I will be done. I will be done. I will be done. Or as my friend Terrell on a podcast said, another OA thing, sorry. You know, oh God, whatever. You know,
Greg, you're fading a bit.
Sorry. Oh God, whatever. You know, the short version of the Serenity Prayer. So I will get off here. I'm not in a great speaking place. And just thank you for your service and all that.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. Just didn't want to miss a bit of what you were sharing there. Stephanie F., you're next. And that might take us to the end of the recorded portion of this meeting, but don't go away. We have still goodness to come after. Hey, Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning. This is Stephanie F. from Westminster, Colorado. I really appreciate this part of Step 11. I think at the beginning, and I think I've heard this a lot on the call, I wasn't sure how to meditate. I was really afraid of it. I didn't know how to pray right. And it's been sort of like a progression, right? It's not something we ever perfect. We find our higher power through seeking. So for me, it's continued to change over and over and over again. And I had an interesting experience this week, which I'll try to share quickly. One of the things that Step 10 talks about is when things crop up, we ask God to remove them. And Step 11 is one of the ways that we do that. And it also suggests in the paragraphs we read today that we apply these principles throughout our day. And for me, that's imperative. So I may pray in the morning or meditate in the morning or do it at night, but maybe I need it in the middle of the day when something crops up. And I had a really rough Monday, and I spent the first part of my day living in a lot of fear about losing my job and losing my house, and my brain decided to turn it into this huge thing. And I had an experience over the weekend where I had read, working with others, with another woman in the program to sort of help her with a sponsee. And there was a lot of interaction there. And I ended up on a plane to fly to Minnesota, which I am now in Minnesota for work. And I'm on the plane. I'm reading the same chapter. And I have been in fear all day. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my house. Everything is terrible. And awareness is part of recovery. So what do I do knowing that I'm in fear? I pray. So I'm praying and I'm reading the big book, and I look up and I see a woman that I recognize. I invite her to sit next to me. And it turns out that the woman sitting next to me is this woman sponsee who for 2 days prior, I'd been meeting with this woman who's a sponsor, and she'd been helping this other woman. And there she was. I could directly help her. God, not only through prayer was I able to connect with God, but I was able to participate in the altruistic aspect of this program. And it completely changed my day. It not only changed my day, but in reading more, I've shown up and have been enthusiastic about being here instead of in this huge fear space. So I'm just really, really grateful that I don't have to be perfect at praying or meditating, that it will continue to change, and that God can and will show up for me and will also use me to help others. I'm just really grateful for that. I loved everyone's shares. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie F. That does take us to the end of this meeting today, the recorded portion. So we'll close it like we typically do and then stick with us because we'll have more goodies to come after an unrecorded session. And thank you to everyone that shared today. So in closing, I would like to invite you to listen to the big book on page 164, and I'm going to ask Liz T. to please read that for us. And then we'll follow with the Serenity Prayer.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.